From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues his series on prayer with a further examination of the features of the Lord's Prayer. In these familiar but beloved words, the Lord Jesus Christ set forth the leading features of all true prayer. We have been reminded of the access we enjoy, access into the very presence of our Heavenly Father. Then, the prayer contains certain definite assumptions about God and our approach to Him. In the first place, we recognize that God is absolutely sovereign. He is our Father in heaven, where He reigns as supreme monarch. Dr. Cairns will come to the message shortly. First, he takes a few minutes to dwell upon a word which contains great implications for those who need to consider their eternal destiny, the word tomorrow.
There's an old saying, tomorrow never comes. I've met so many people who have told me, yes, I'm going to be saved, but not today, tomorrow, some other time. I remember standing at a seaside resort in Northern Ireland. We were on a Sunday school outing, and a few of us young people, teenagers who were teaching children at that time, met a friend, or an acquaintance, should I say, to whom one of our friends had just recently given a witness of the gospel. And so we met him that day, and we talked to him for a little while. It was very obvious he didn't want to talk to us. He didn't want to hear about the things of God. He was just a young man. He was going to come to Christ some other time, but not today. Perhaps tomorrow, perhaps next week, next month, next year, some other time. That was a Saturday. The following Friday, he was buried, killed in an accident, as far as we could tell, dying without Christ. Tomorrow, 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 the devil tells you, you have plenty of time, you're young, you're healthy, you have other things to concern you right now, you have friends, you have family, you have a fortune to make, you have your way to make in the world. There are so many other things that need your urgent attention, you can leave off until tomorrow what you will do with Jesus, who is called the Christ. Tomorrow. But tomorrow never seems to come. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27, and verse 1, is very specific about this. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't be boasting that you will do anything tomorrow. Tomorrow is not in your hand. Speaking to Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel the prophet described God as God in whose hand thy breath is. Tomorrow is eternity just hidden from your view. That's why the Bible says, do not boast yourself about tomorrow. Rather, consider that now is the accepted time, and now is the day of salvation. The need to come to Christ is urgent. The need for people who have come to Christ to live their lives 100% and wholeheartedly for Him, devoted to His service, giving all they are and have to the Savior, is equally urgent. Tomorrow is too late to get saved. Tomorrow is too late to give your life in service for the Lord. Tomorrow, your opportunity may have fled forever.
and stars in splendor till the vault of heaven in splendor till the vault of heaven with lovely flowers the fields are decked and stars in splendor. Loving kindness shines for Jehovah's boundless might. In His loving kindness shines for the boundless power of God, the everlasting God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving phone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of God's Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning. This booklet is a plain man's guide to the way of salvation and going on with God. For a free copy of A New Beginning, or of any of the other literature we mention, please contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week. Thank you.
You see, underneath the words, there are assumptions. There are things we accept, and because we accept them, assume them, and believe them to be true, therefore we pray the words that are given to us here. These then are the foundations of the words. Or to change the metaphor, these are the roots out of which these particular words and expressions flow. The first assumption clearly is that our Father is absolutely sovereign. A Christian comes to God, and as he expresses himself to the Lord, every expression of his heart is expressing this great inward assumption of every Christian soul that our God is absolutely sovereign. He is in heaven. He is the King of heaven. I've noticed in reading various Jewish prayers that they tend to pray a lot to God, the King of the universe. Now, I must confess that if that is the only or the usual way in which you address God, it seems to put such a distance between you and God that there is no real personal communion. But nonetheless, there is an emphasis there that we ought never to forget. When we're coming to our God, we are coming to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords. We are coming to the one of whom we read in the book of Nehemiah this morning. When Nehemiah, in chapter 1 and verse 5, cried, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God." God is absolutely sovereign, ruling in absolute power, His will invincible, His actions irresistible. Who can stay His hand? Or say unto him, "What doest thou?" That's the first assumption. I wish I had time to expand on this. My wife always gets scared when I say that, for she said, "You go on to take the time anyway." But I'm really not going to do that this morning. But I wish I could get you to think deeply on this. The measure of all your praying will be the measure of your understanding of the greatness of God. The more you are overwhelmed by the absolute sovereign greatness of God, the more you will be encouraged and enabled to pray. The bigger your vision of God, the greater your prayers to Him will be. That's the first assumption we have when we pray. The absolute sovereignty of our Father. Now, theologians call that the transcendence of God. But going alongside of the transcendence of God in all Christian theology, and you'll find this in the Bible very, very clearly, there is what theologians call the immanence of God. What does that mean in very simple language? Yes, our Father is absolutely sovereign, but yet He is interested in our affairs, both small and great. And if that were not so, the whole Lord's Prayer would be a mockery. The Lord's Prayer is based on this assumption that this great God of heaven is our Father. And like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He remembers our frame. He knows that we are only dust. He is sovereign, but yet He's interested in our affairs. As the psalmist put it in the 40th Psalm, in verse 17, "I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me." The Lord thinketh on me. And for that reason, we can pray not only for the great worldwide success of the gospel, but for such a small matter as our daily bread.
We can pray not only for the great cosmic events that surround the eternal purpose of God or flow from it, but we can pray for our own particular needs, our own particular situation. It may be small in the eyes of the world, but not in the eyes of our Father. Let me give you a very homely, and I use that word in the British sense, not the American sense of something that's ugly, a very homely illustration. There are people being killed all over the world. Bodies are being mangled. Disease is eating up people's frames. And if any parent here were to look out and see those pictures, my, undoubtedly, they would be greatly affected by it. But then your little Johnny comes in and he has got a slight nick in the end of his finger. Or he's fallen in the grass and grazed his knee. Now, in comparison to the great events of the world, what is Johnny's little nick? It's nothing. Where is the mother, where is the father who would simply say, I'm too busy thinking of world events to think of you, Johnny? No, no. A father's heart and a mother's heart will always be ready even for the smallest need of that child. Lift that up to the spiritual level. Our God is in control of the great things and the mighty things. The rise and fall of nations, kingdoms, and empires. But our God, if I could use the colloquial illustration again, our God still has time for His children when they graze their knee, as it were. Their needs are small to the eyes of men, but their Father thinketh on them. There's a third assumption, and that is that our Father can and will do the things that we request. Now, we deliberately do not ask what we know is either unworthy of His name or contrary to His revealed will. When people pray for what they know is unworthy of God and His name and His cause, they're in dangerous ground. When Christians deliberately pray for what in their heart they know is not the will of God, they're in dangerous ground. I have drawn your attention before to that very, very searching statement of the Lord that He gave them their request and sent leanness in their soul. So we don't pray for what we know is unworthy of Him, contrary to His will. To use the text from Isaiah 33 and 13 that I referred to this morning, we acknowledge God's might and we recognize His right to do as He wills. But we believe that God can and will do the things that we humbly request of Him. But in all this, the final assumption in prayer, in all prayer, is this. And I think we should keep this to the forefront of our brains when we're praying. We exist for God, not vice versa. Not God for us. Now, God is for us. Let's not be in any doubt about that. God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? But we're talking about the whole purpose of existence. The purpose of God's existence is the glory of His own being. The purpose of our existence is the glory of His name. We exist for Him, and this is very clearly made clear, or set out before us in the Lord's Prayer. When we come to pray, we're praying that God's name be hallowed, God's kingdom coming, God's will being done. In other words, though we rejoice in His watch care over us, we fully accept that it is the interests of the Lord and His kingdom that are supreme. We assume that we may pray for it with confidence, for anything that is for His glory, and that whatever's not for His glory is not a fit matter for prayer at all. Now, those are the assumptions that we must carry with us when we come to pray.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.